Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Sitting in a flannel with my heating on full blast, I would be lying if I said that it felt like spring was just around the corner, especially down here in Canberra. But according to my calendar, it is just over 2 weeks away. Spring, of course, is many things to many people. It's the season of footy finals and hay fever, of swooping magpies and Floriade. Again, just get these Canberra references in. And in the world of property, it's one of the busiest times of the year, if not the busiest. So on today's episode of Friends with Money, we are going to do a bit of a preview of the spring property market for both buyers and sellers. But we're also going to use this as an excuse to talk about how property prices have fared so far this year and where they might be headed in the future. And to do all that, I am very pleased to say that we are joined today by Dr. Nicola Powell, Chief of Research and Economics at Domain. Nicola, lovely to have you back on Friends of Money after such a long pause.
It has been a while, but it is so great to be back on and discuss my favourite thing, which is Australia's housing market.
Listen, it's one of my favourite topics as well. So a bit of a
we're
guilty pleasure.
We're all obsessed, right? Like an Australian sport.
Totally. Nicola, before we get into spring, it would be great to, I guess, take a step back and to have a look at how the property market has fared so far this year. So thinking about prices or values specifically, what have you seen happen at the national level in terms of changes?
Yeah, so we have started to see different dynamics unravel across our major capital cities. And it almost started to happen very late last year. And we started to see buyer inquiry was rising. And ultimately, I think now that we've seen the RBA reduce the cash rate, what that has really done is brought buyers back to market. It's starting to instill confidence, I think, in buyers. And we've seen things like clearance rates rise consistently every single month. And ultimately, it's helped to bring back price momentum. So over the first half of this year, we have seen momentum being building across prices. And what's interesting is we are seeing a shift away from Australia's affordability-driven markets. So we were seeing previously markets like Adelaide, Perth, and Brisbane seeing really strong rates of price growth. But now we're starting to see a big turnaround in markets like Sydney and Melbourne. And Sydney and Melbourne are what I described as interest rate-sensitive markets. They react much quicker to reductions in the cash rate, and that is exactly what's happening at the moment. We're seeing the reduction in the cash rate being amplified through Sydney and Melbourne's housing market much more quickly compared to our other capital cities. But one of the things I would say, we still have all capital cities rising in price. You know, we've got all eight capital cities posting house price growth over the most recent quarter. And that's the first time we've seen that in 4 years. So it really shows what the cash rate reduction is actually doing to our housing markets.
And beyond the cash rate, Nicola, are there any other, I guess, kind of wider factors that's kind of causing this uplift in the last couple of months, or is it primarily the cash rate and obviously the flow and effect to home loan rates?
I think that the cash rate has probably been what I would describe as the game changer. I think that we had a lot of people kind of fence sitting previously, waiting for the RBA to move into a reduction cycle. You've got to remember, we waited so long for that reduction to come through. And I think that really has done a lot for buyer confidence. Confidence is a really big thing in the housing market. And I think now that we've had, you know, we've had even recent reduction, we've had 3 rate cuts already. And now the market is pricing in another one in November, another couple early next year. And I do think that the 3 rate reductions we've had, particularly the August one, is going to provide foundations for quite a strong spring selling and buying season. But I think, you know, there are structural things in our housing market that are still driving prices higher. And that is ultimately at its foundation that we have an undersupply of housing across Australia. We still have that. It hasn't been solved. We are not seeing building approvals at the levels that we need to meet population growth. We've had an undersupply of housing for many years in Australia. And that's going to take time to solve. So I think even without a cash rate reduction, that structural element of not building enough houses is already enough to keep pressure on pricing.
Nicola, before we get into spring, and I will get to spring at some point. I know you've just released a new report looking at the kind of profits and losses that homeowners have been making this year. So broadly speaking, what did you find on that front?
I think it's a really powerful report that does showcase and demonstrate that property is really a vehicle to build financial wealth and security for your family. What we found over the first half of this year is profit-making resales remain really strong. Homeowners, I think, are cashing in on market momentum. We saw the vast majority of property sales across Australia reselling for a profit. So 97% of houses that were transacted sold for a profit.
Wow.
88% of units sold for a profit. When you look at the amount of profit, this is where it becomes quite eye-watering. $365,000 was the median profit on a house. That's the median, which means that there are many homeowners out there that are making much more than that. And honestly, when you go down to, you know, that suburb level, particularly in those elite suburbs in Sydney, the median profits were like multi-millions.
Wow.
It's extreme.
Let's get into spring. I've delayed long enough. I guess, first of all, though, Nicola, why is it such an important time of the year in the market? Or is that even true? Have I been peddling a bit of a myth?
Oh, it's an absolutely important time. Spring is the peak for transactional activity. So there's spring and there's autumn. So that means that we see higher levels of properties being sold. And I think, you know, it's going to be very poignant, I think, this spring selling season. And let's think about it. It's also when our homes look their best. You know, we've got all the flowers starting to come out. And I think that, you know, what you find is homeowners spend the winter kind of prepping their property, getting ready for the spring selling season. But there's also this other kind of deadline that creates this peak in spring is people want to buy and sell their property before the end of the year. They want to be in there before Christmas. They want to be settling and moving into their new home to also then start the new school year for many in their new home, settled and ready and functional. I've just moved house. And I know how painful that moving journey is. I've got two young kids and it is highly stressful. So I can understand why we have this kind of peak period where people want to get their transactions done. They want to be settled before the new calendar year.
Yeah, the school side of things is really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that before. I'd obviously been very focused on the aesthetics of homes, but that makes complete sense as well. And Nicola, obviously this will flow in from what you've already talked about in terms of, you know, the impact that interest rates are having on the market and other things as well. But I guess, you know, how is spring kind of shaping up for buyers and sellers at the moment?
So I think there's two dynamics that are currently happening. We've got overall supply now starting to shrink, and that is my big indicator when market dynamics are starting to change. So what that ultimately means is we are seeing homes being transacted quicker than they're coming to market. And so the overall choice is starting to shrink. And when you look at total supply across the combined capitals, it's now dropped to a six-month low. Then you layer it with other things like clearance rates. You know, clearance rates are the good Australian sport. Everybody loves to watch the auction market on a weekend. When you look at clearance rates across the combined capitals, for the most recent month, it was the highest clearance rate that we've seen in 2 years. So it was sitting at about 67%. Now, when you get a clearance rate edging above 60%, it tells us that prices are likely to be rising and that there is increased competition between buyers. So what my expectations are in spring, it's going to be a bit of a test for the market. I think we are going to see lots of new listings, but we also have to remember that most sellers are buyers and buyers are sellers. But what my expectations for spring is we're going to see a better spring this year compared to last year. We're going to probably see that price momentum continuing through that spring selling season. And I think those clearance rates are going to still hold quite robust as well.
Well, obviously, see what happens on that front. In terms of price momentum, though, Nicola, that kind of segues me in perfectly to ask for a bit of an outlook for the rest of the year and beyond, because, you know, it's an unknown to me, but, you know, it might not be so much to you. So what, you know, where are we headed price-wise for the rest of 2025 and 2026? And again, what are the factors that are likely to drive that going forward?
So we release a forecast report. And so our forecasts for the financial year are for prices to rise across all of our major capital cities. What we are expecting is markets like Sydney are going to now lead price growth. And while other markets like Adelaide and Perth are going to still post price growth, they're really moving away from those double-digit increases that we were seeing. Our forecasts, though, are below 10% annual increase across all of our capital cities. I think ultimately, what is still driving prices to rise are the reduction in the cash rate, but also the undersupply of housing. But I think what's going to temper the rate of price growth, so we're not expecting double-digit boom time scenarios here across our housing markets, is the affordability aspect. There is a gap between where home prices are and the capacity for buyers to pay for a home. Now, that capacity has increased because we've seen a reduction in that cash rate. But I think that that affordability angle is still very much there. And I think that that is what is going to help to keep the price growth much more moderate. But I do think, you know, we're going to see records continue to tumble. We're going to see prices continue to rise over the rest of this year and into the new year as well.
Definitely be watching out for that then. And I think a forecast is a lovely place to end off and give us something to focus on in the future. So Nicola, many thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. And I promise that it won't be another 2 years until we have you back on the show.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay. I'll try to keep my promises. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.